On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Tall Can Sports Podcast, only on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Good to be back with you. For you, maybe some of you didn't notice that we were gone for a little while as we kept pumping out the shows, had some awesome interviews on, but as those of you who've kind of caught everything know that I've been gone for a couple of weeks and put this place on autopilot. Back in the studio tonight with your boy Matty Lang. What's happening, man?
I'm glad you guys finally put out the search and rescue for me after the Raptors win. That's what I'm happy about. You guys found me down on Queen Street, half delirious about 2 weeks ago. So I'm glad to be alive.
Yeah, it was tough, man. We wanted to get you on kind of after that. And then, you know, the schedule got a little hectic. And I think you might have been suffering a little bit for a little while. And then before you know it, I'm up and gone. And so, yeah. We're going to talk a little Raptors here in a bit, but how's the summer been treating you, man? And how was the celebration post-Raptors victory?
The celebration was wild. I think I had been texting with you. I was downtown watching the game at a bar, and the euphoria post-game was just something to, I don't know, you know, in the age of social media, everybody's seen the videos. But to be down there, we couldn't even get home.
Right.
Like, you couldn't leave downtown. You couldn't leave the party unless you walked your way out of the party, which unfortunately lasted about 4 kilometers in each direction. So you just sucked it up and kind of partied away.
Yeah.
It was great. We were up on King Street, for everybody in Toronto knows where that is. About a 20-minute walk from Jurassic Park. We walked down to Jurassic Park. We walked up to Yonge and Dundas and just really took it in with all the fans. And it was definitely a memorable night. Something I don't think anybody who was there was ever going to forget. And it did seem to last the entire weekend in Toronto.
Right.
Nobody was really ready to let it die down. So there was a lot of celebration.
There was some incredible videos that got posted of like time lapse of Yonge and Dundas Square, just instantly filling with people, right? Coming from all directions, and like people who had been nowhere near Jurassic Park when it happened were all just like instinctively flooding towards these communal areas, whether it be Nathan Phillips Square or Yonge and Dundas Square. It was like, I don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm going to be a part of this, right? Like, yeah, it was really cool to watch.
And what was really interesting was, you know, leaving King Street, you know, you're basically surrounded by 25 to 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden you start walking around to the different places of the city and there's like people with their 15-year-old kids there.
Right.
And, you know, everybody was just out till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, just celebrating, which was just amazing. And we all know the bad stuff that happened at the actual parade.
Yeah.
But there was not one arrest. There wasn't any mischief going on.
Yeah.
At the actual celebration, it was beautiful to watch. And, definitely recovering from that weekend was, took a few days for everybody in Toronto. The next week, you could just tell everybody was a little bit quieter at work.
For sure.
Slowly ramping back up to real life.
A little bit hungover, yeah. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that's gone on in the NBA over the last week or two. There's been some interesting stuff around the Leafs since I've been gone. We're going to get into that. Before we do, if you want, you can give us a follow on social media at TallCanAudio. That's on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Facebook.com/TallCanAudio as well. And there's new stuff going up all the time, including something new this week at Patreon.com/TallCanAudio if you want the support. Want to support the show over there. Matty Lang is on Twitter at Matthew Lang and on Instagram at Matt Does Physio. He's got a great injury blog. I'm sure over the last week or two or a little bit more than that, there's been how to recover your liver or something posted on there. So that's where you'll be able to find us all going on. Why don't we start with the NBA since we're there? I want to get your take on Kadri being traded. Let's hold on to that for a little while. The first one, and all hell broke loose around NBA free agency, and it's so much fun. I guess it depends on your perspective. If you're a big market team, you know, you're a fan who's excited because you know your team's always going to be in the mix. It seems to always be the small market teams that are losing out in terms of, you know, where these guys end up. But man, shit got crazy. Let's start with Kawhi. We talked last summer that you thought, and I don't think you were alone, this isn't a try to bury Maddie scenario, that if they had a good run, there was a reasonable chance the Raps might be able to hold on to him. And by all accounts, they were in it right until the end, and they did have a reasonable chance of holding on to him. And some reports would suggest it was as simple as which team was going to go out and get Paul George that, you know, might sway his decision in getting him a little help or whatever. The package that was reportedly being asked for from the Raptors to do it was obviously going to be a non-starter. Do you believe that it was as simple as making that deal? Do you think he just always decided, when this was done, that he was going to go home? Was it mission accomplished in Toronto after winning the title?
I got something here for you, Matty. I got something for you.
Let's hear it, man.
So I got inside information on Friday that the Friday he ended up signing.
Yeah.
And with the Clippers late night, right? Like past midnight Eastern Standard Time. I had gotten a text at about 3 p.m. in the afternoon that said, the Raptors just booked the PR room for 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
Oh.
So there was a lot of chatter. Okay. It from somebody who works in PR.
Right.
So immediately I started thinking, they're signing him, right? Because that was the day the plane had flown back to San Diego without him.
Right.
And come back.
Pick up his family, people were thinking, right? Like,
so there's a lot of trying to figuring out what's happening. When we got this tip about the media room, I was, immediately tell everybody at work.
Yeah.
We all start getting excited. And about an hour later, it actually hits Twitter.
Right.
That they booked this PR room. And then about an hour after that, coming about 5 o'clock or 4:30, they start to say, oh, they postponed it. And all of a sudden I went, oh shit.
Yeah.
And I felt like they had something in the works, and I had been from the same person who gave me this tip said, I think they're holding off to announce a second star.
Okay.
They're going to pull somebody else in and they're going to announce both of them at the same conference.
Right.
And it turns out that they were trying to do that.
Yeah.
And I think when I heard they postponed it a day, I went, oh shit.
Yeah.
He's backing out. He's getting cold feet about this. Or his family said something to him that's making him reconsider. We had also had a pretty juicy tip from an extended family member of Kawhi's that even after the championship said he loves it there, but he's coming home. He wants to be with the family.
Right.
And that's, an extended family member. Take it for what you want. It's like, your cousin telling somebody what your next job is going to be.
But
with the way it was all playing out, you kind of felt like he was going to go home. So as a fan, I wasn't super surprised. I had kind of mentally prepared myself after hearing from this extended family member that it wasn't going to work
right
in Toronto. So it was less upsetting to me than it definitely has been if you check Twitter to some people.
Oh, man. The Twitter thing was so weird. It was like 30,000 tweets that say, oh, I see if Kawhi leaves, it's him abandoning you. But when John Tavares comes home, I'm like, I haven't seen one. I literally didn't see one tweet of people angry that Kawhi was going home. And the comparison to Tavares is fine if that's the one you want to make. But it's stupid because Islanders fans lost their damn minds, and Raps fans, now they had been cushioned by getting a championship out of them first.
But it definitely helps.
That for sure. But everybody jumping up and down, screaming at nobody. Like, I didn't see anyone who was, I'm sure they were out there, but I didn't see any of them, man. To me, everyone was like, that sucks. Like, I wish he'd stayed, but I get it, right? Like,
yeah. And again, you know, coming back from last year or from the summer, if you look at it, just him being an absolute mercenary for this team,
yep.
You get it. There's so many teams that have never won a championship. The Clippers have been around for 50 some years and never had a championship.
Right.
We're Leaf fans. We know what it's like to not have a championship. You know. And the way the whole championship season played out was just, I mean, storybook like.
Yeah.
And even how they seem to get better at every step along the way. Not even upset. You know, I'm just happy that ride happened.
Absolutely.
I'm happy that we had that guy. I'm happy that we had an opportunity to win. And to, you know, the best thing about Kawhi is he's now destroyed two dynasties.
Yes.
Right? Never mind the two championships. He's literally pulled apart two dynasties, right. Which is that's a fucking boss move.
Right. You know? No, it's true, man. And I love the idea of a mercenary. Like, I would love to see that guy take 1-year deals for the rest of his career to just go to, like, all right, I'm off to Milwaukee and help those guys out next season, win another title. And then, like, teams that are just sort of right there on the cusp, and he puts them all over the top and just bounces around raining down titles. Would be hilarious, man.
Well, there's a little bit of like a fan base thing about this, right? And I've talked to a lot of people about this, about how, I think this is what you were alluding to, right? Like, how does it feel to be in a big market? You're always Lakers. You're always going to get an interview. You're Philly. You're going to get an interview. What does that mean to a league? What does that mean to fan bases? How do fan bases respond to it? You know, the NBA is a player driven league to begin with. People buy jerseys for players, not necessarily teams.
Absolutely.
And it might be different in a town like LA, but in Toronto, it's not uncommon to see Laker jerseys and Kobe jerseys.
Right.
It's not uncommon to see Michael Jordan jerseys still to this day, right? And people wear Giannis jerseys in Toronto, right? If you're Greek. Sure. It's something that people do. And, you know, it's almost a throwback to how pro leagues used to be back in the early 1900s. The NHL was actually famous for this.
Absolutely, man. Right, Cyclone Taylor and these guys back in the day, right?
These guys would switch teams like every season, highest bidder.
Who's got the high paycheck this year? I'm off, man. I'll see you there.
Right. And I think fans are just so used to the 80s and 90s where you couldn't leave for 15 years.
Yeah.
And there were no options. And you had guys like Jack Morris who had to literally go to court to get out of Detroit.
Right.
You know, because of collusion, right? And at some point, you know, it's tough because we all love our teams and we love our we want to be part of that fan base, right?
For sure.
And we want to love these guys. But, you know, the example is always like, what if you had to stay in the same job for the rest of your life?
Right.
Right.
And these guys, no chance to move, no chance to advance, no nothing. This person owns you forever. And you're like, I don't love
to make it. To make it worse, it's like they draft you.
Yes. Yeah. Right? You have no say on where you started.
It'd be one thing if maybe coming out of college, these guys just signed free agent contracts.
Yeah.
Like the NCAA hockey guys do. But
yep.
The reality is, I mean, this is his first chance to decide where he wants to go to live his life. And there's nothing wrong with that.
It's hard to fault him. It really is. We have a whole summer to get to what this means for the Raps and how they might shape up. Let's put that on the back burner because the whole rest of the goddamn league caught fire with guys moving around. What were some of the – what stood out to you as like the, oh, fuck, right? Like maybe one you didn't see coming or something that completely changes the balance of power. Obviously, Kawhi and George to the Clippers changes the balance of power in the West. But, you know, something else that jumped out at you.
I think the biggest one is one that just happened, buddy. Brody. Going from OKC, Russell Westbrook going from OKC over to Houston. I think that I'm not sure that's going to make Houston any better.
Right.
But I think it's going to make for some good TV this year.
Okay.
Between Russell Westbrook and James Harden trying to figure their lives out together. between those two and PG
ESPN
Tucker, they will
season,
be the
man. Let's get that going. Yeah. Let's get that going in 100%. Houston right now.
it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And between those two guys and PJ Tucker, the best dressed team in the league by far. Right? NBA fashion Twitter is going to be going nuts all hours. Those guys are fantastic. When they come in, and it'll definitely set our boy Don Cherry off a few times, I'm sure, right?
Can't wait.
The guy who dresses like a fucking curtain getting pissed. But so I think that one's interesting, and I think that one's maybe, you know, the writing was on the wall after Paul George got traded.
Yeah.
But that's a franchise guy, right? That's the Leafs looking around and going, we don't think we can do it, so let's trade Austin Matthews.
Sure.
Jeez. Right?
Don't even joke about that.
But that's exactly what this is, right?
Why
it's so crazy.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, I think what these guys in NBA are realizing, when you have that star player, you got to give them the max contract.
Yeah.
That's understood. But what ends up happening is then you have no money to build a team.
Yep.
You can't have three guys making $40, $40, and $30 million because there's no money left over to fill out your roster.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So you have 2 years basically with these guys under max contracts to try to facilitate these runs. And I think this was crazy because going back, I mean, we're going back 10 years now, but that was a team that had Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, Kevin Durant, and James Harden.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing. I mean, that's it. 10 years ago, you would have said, if there's one team I think is going to dominate the league for the next decade, it's going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And then everybody else went, oh, fuck, it's in Oklahoma. No one's staying there.
Yeah, maybe that's what part of it
was. Small market to big market, right? That's sort of how it goes. You mentioned
all these guys slowly moved, man. It's sad. It's sad, and definitely the end of an era with Oklahoma, and now they're left with another big contract with CP3.
Right.
That's the other kind of intriguing part about that is they move Chris Paul. Chris Paul is, if I'm not mistaken, still head of the Players Association, which is kind of I'm sure there's going to be some ripple effects from going down as well.
No doubt, man. What did you think of KD headed to Brooklyn? Lots of talk. Well, first of all, he may not play at all next season.
I can guarantee you he's not going to play at all next season.
Okay. So
now, with that Achilles, an Achilles tear is a year out of the league.
Right.
And where it is, and he's going to take that year and a half off. He'll come back better from it.
Right.
Taking that extra summer off. We all saw Boogie Cousins come back in just about, whether it was like 11 months or 12 months, he came back this year. He was not the same guy.
Right.
They're both big. I mean, Boogie's a bigger dude, but they're both 7 feet tall. That tendon needs time to heal. It needs time to get stronger. So I'll preemptively give you that one.
Okay.
So this is a punt for that.
You're right.
This year.
A year would bring him to the NBA finals again. At that point, you just take the extra couple months and make sure you're getting that next season started, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Knicks, always rumored to be in it, never get their guy. There was talk that maybe he would be talked into staying in Golden State and signing there just to kind of get some more money, and then you work out some sort of sign and trade in a year. Instead, he goes right to Brooklyn. What did you make of it? Obviously, we're not going to feel the impact of it for at least a year. What did you think of that? Because to me, that was the big fish, right? And
yeah, it's an interesting move. I mean, he's an interesting player, and I feel like, you know, in 10 years after he's retired, we're going to get a really good autobiography out of him, or a really good movie on HBO or something about this guy, because he's definitely not your typical star, right? He's a guy who's continually taken less money over the last number of years. And again, all the rumors about going to the Knicks and stuff like this, apparently there's been some chatter that it's their owner that keeps scaring everybody away.
Right.
Nobody wants to play for Dolan, apparently.
Right. No.
Man, I think it's going to be interesting because, and I'm not sure if we talked about it on your show, but it was on my blog a little while ago with Boogie Cousins. And there's only been one player who's ever come back from an Achilles tear and become a Hall of Famer. And you really got to change your game because you're going to come back and you don't have that same spring in your step, literally, because the Achilles is so integral to any basketball player.
Yep.
It's not like hockey where, you know, there was that like a little mini epidemic a couple of years ago where the skates kept coming up high and cutting everybody's Achilles, right? And guys would be back in 6 weeks because in hockey, you don't really use your Achilles in the same way.
Well, and it's supported by the boot and all that sort of thing, right?
Exactly, right? So very, very different like mechanics, right? When we're talking about, it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back. And he's a guy who, lucky enough for him, is an amazing shooter.
Right.
So he doesn't necessarily need to be driving to the bucket. But when you're playing with a guy like Kyrie, I think their anticipation is that it's going to be a quick, fast-paced, moving team.
Right.
I'm also not a Kyrie believer.
Okay. Yeah.
And I know we've talked about this on your show. I said going into last season, I don't think Kyrie's the same guy he used to be.
Right.
With his knee injuries and his shattered kneecap and what did he have? He had the infection and stuff like that in his knee.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to be the same guy. And last year he didn't look like the same guy. Guys who play that quick, fast game, and they've been doing it since high school, and now they're getting up around 30. There's a ceiling they all hit, right? We all like to think of guys like LeBron James and Tom Brady playing late into their 30s, but these guys are unicorns.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Basic all-stars, if that's a thing to say, to turn that fucking works.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, you see it all the time where guys just fall off the cliff, right? And I don't think these guys are going to fall off the cliff, but add another year to Kyrie. These guys are over 30. I don't think they're going to be
the dynasty
they want to be.
Like, it sounds ridiculous to say using the names that you just brought up, and because they're both unbelievable athletes. But if you'll follow me, LeBron and Tom Brady, in the way they do things, and again, don't jump down my throat for using this phrase, but it's less athletic, right? Like, Tom Brady is not sprinting and running the ball every other possession, right? LeBron is a beast, and he shoots awesome. He's great positionally. He does his thing, but he's not jumping all over the place, and he doesn't need that explosive whatever to do his thing quite like some of these other guys, right? And so it totally depends on your game, and you can kind of get by a little less mobile depending on your style. And that's not KD's style, right? He needs that explosiveness, right? He's a shooter, and you've said he'll have to adapt his game a little, and I believe he's a good enough player that he will, but it's going to take some adjustments. But, you know, those two guys you mentioned are brilliant examples of guys that can kind of get by without that explosive speed. They're just so precision. They're just so positionally sound, right? Like,
definitely, right? And I think as you get older, you have to change your game a bit in any sport. And I think KD's good enough. Obviously, he's one of the top three players in the world. At any point, he's definitely good enough to do that.
Right.
I don't know if Kyrie is.
Okay, yeah.
I think Kyrie's the one. And we're going to see it this year. I mean, you got Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan, and DeAndre Jordan is not the player he used to be.
Right.
He still can't hit a free throw to save his life. Great defensively, but he's getting older. I watched him this year when he was with the Knicks, and he, you know, maybe he was a little disengaged because the Knicks suck, but he didn't look all that great. I don't see, and to be honest, this year, you know, they upgrade on him. They have a slight upgrade on point guard when you get Kyrie from, I'm just dropping his name right now. he ended up going to Golden State too. But anyways, their old point guard was pretty damn good.
Right.
So I don't know if that's, I still don't think even with Kyrie, they're any better than the Raptors are going into next season.
Right.
Once you get KD, obviously, you know, you have a chance to add maybe another player.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is getting two guys too late in their career. And unfortunately, you know, if KD's not injured, it's a different scenario. But two guys who are going to be too far past their or over the prime, right?
Right, yeah.
To really make the run that Brooklyn wants to make. But again, you have an option of getting All-Stars. You take the All-Stars, right?
Yeah, no, for sure you do. So I want to move on to the Leafs here in a second. Before we do, most people know that for the last couple of weeks, like I said, I've been out of studio. I had headed down to a true vacation hotspot, Fort Wayne, Indiana, where all the cool kids hang out on summer vacation. Our friend there, Amy Burke, She was on episode 159 of Audio Whiplash talking about kind of what's happening with her, if you want to go back and check that out. But most people who've been listening to this network for a while know that Amy is a Canadian Paralympian, unreal in her sport. And this was her first major international competition back after taking last season off to add to her family. So she was excited to get back after it. They lost their quarterfinal matchup to Australia, which was sort of a stumble. I think if I speak for Amy, you know, they would like to have that one back, her and her teammates. But man, I got to tell you, sitting there in person and watching her do her thing at that level was absolutely unreal. She was throwing the fuck out of the ball like maybe I've never seen her do before. And just the defense on other teams were just able to cheat on her just a little bit. She's Canada's biggest offensive threat. And there's other, you know, really good players on Canada. I'm certainly not taking away from them, but nobody who delivers offensively quite like Amy. And so teams game plan for that, right? And, you know, I think they probably fell a little shorter than they wanted to, but it was so cool to watch her in her environment and, you know, competing with some of the best in the world and showing that she belonged there, man. It was pretty cool to sit there and be, as you know, I work with her here on the Ontario team, so it's always work weekends, but this was vacation. You can sit back, you can have a couple and just cheering her on and these sorts of things, right? It's more of a trip like that. It was really cool. So I just wanted to take a second on our first show back here to give her a shout out and let her know, you know, how cool it was to see her doing her thing. And I know she's disappointed in the result. They will have other chances to qualify for Tokyo 2020. So she'll get geared up for that. And hopefully we'll have her back on to talk about it. But it was pretty sweet, man. Like, she just a fucking killer out there. She had to be right near the top of the tournament in scoring by the time it was all said and done.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, it was definitely great to be able to watch through the power of social media.
Yeah.
Catch some of the games. I mean, I have been lucky enough to been able to watch Amy live. And yeah, she's definitely one of the top athletes in the world,
for
right?
Sure, man. So shout out to Amy. We're proud of you. We're proud you're a part of the TCA family, but really cool to be able to see it live. So thanks for letting me be around to do it. And I got to tell you, man, before I went down there, I've dug out a PEI Rocket, their old QMJHL team. A while back, I found one of their jerseys online. I'm like, this is perfect. I'm gonna go down and cheer
fantastic.
On cheer on the other PEI Rocket sporting this jersey. So that was pretty cool too. Maybe we'll throw a picture up on the TCA Instagram. Let's move on to the Leafs, man. I've been gone for a little while. Hockey wasn't big news in Fort Wayne, Indiana, so you're gonna have to catch
that's
me.
Surprise.
Up.
That's
course,
surprising
man.
To me.
Yes, you're
don't
gonna
they have
their to
catch channel up there.
You're gonna have to catch me up. What was Mitch Marner's offer sheet? And where did he end up? I assume he's long gone. He's got to be gone by now. I assume he's signed one. He's long gone, right?
I mean, that's what Kiprios kept saying, right?
Of course, man. Dreger, Kipper, yeah.
Fuck.
Not gone, eh? Still here?
What
still
a show, here. Eh?
Yeah, fuck it, right? You know what? If it hasn't happened by now, I don't think it's happening. And I think the reason is he's terrified the Leafs won't match if he signs one that's too big. And he'll actually have to go play in Columbus or in wherever the fuck else he might get one from. And this was a horribly bungled negotiation by his management, by his agent. And I think now he's sitting back and resetting a little bit. And the other thing that I've seen speculated about a little is that he was fully on board with this public negotiation, right? The throwing around that there's going to be offer sheets and I want $12 million and what. I think, man, he was shocked by the negative reaction that got from Leafs fans, just in the sense that people loved Mitch and still do, but people might be a little mad at Mitch right now. And he was the prodigal son. He was the hometown kid. He wore the Leaf. He always seemed to be the happiest to do it. And here you are publicly yapping about this and at numbers that are just ridiculous. I think it blew him away how annoyed people got, how sick people are hearing about it after Matthews and after Nylander. I think he went to his agent and said, cut it the fuck out. Because we haven't heard shit in the last couple of weeks like we were leading up to it. And I think he told them, okay, it hasn't fucking worked and you're killing my fucking PR here. Get it done privately. That's sort of my take on it.
Yeah, you know, and it has been interesting that it has gone completely quiet. I think the one we have to thank for this is actually Bergevin over in Montreal.
Yep.
Old Bergie just did us a solid by trying to sign Aho or Aho.
Yeah. At a nice low number.
Nice low number. A guy who's very comparable and to most
center.
Hockey people. Yeah, he's a center.
Yep.
A little bit more valuable, as we all know. So I think that really just shot them in the foot
for sure
on the first day of free agency, right?
Yeah.
And it was an interesting move because even, you know, to take it away from Mitch, but that Aho contract was just like, well, of course they're going to match
of
that.
Of course.
Like, that's what are you talking
it was
about? That's such a low
bungled,
number.
Bungled, man.
Kind of a funny move by Montreal. I don't know if they were just trying to get some PR out of it.
I think that was part of it. I also think if they thought at all it was going to work, it was that they front-loaded it so heavy that $21 million is going out the door in the first 12 months, and they thought maybe Dundon and the Hurricanes couldn't match it. But yeah, a lot of people are speculating that you put his back up against the wall and basically challenged him to, you know, he had to prove to his market that he could do it. And I think he was a little insulted by it and went, yeah, no, fuck, we're going to do that. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, even from last year, right, the Canes have a great social media team.
Yes.
Especially for all the Twitter followers out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys, if you don't, you should be following them anyways. the bunch of jerks out there.
Yeah.
They had a really great one on the Saturday following. So it would have been like whatever, July 7th or something. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was basically like busy day and it was like nothing. Watch Spider-Man. Nothing. Sign Aho. It was like their calendar for the day. It was fantastic.
Well, and the other one was on the actual day of, they put up, will we match the offer sheet? And then option one was yes, and option two was we. Right?
So, yeah, yeah. I saw that.
They're good, man. I like these guys.
Yeah, they're pretty good at their job.
Yeah.
Gotta give it up to those guys. I mean, that sets the bar. There's no way the Leafs could have come back after and said, yeah, here's your 10 and a half.
Right,
Mitch.
Right.
Here's your 11. Oh, you want 14, actually, no problem. You want to be paid like Connor McGregor or McDavid, sorry?
He does want to be paid more like Connor McGregor, to be honest with
that's
you.
That's not the problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really surprised that, especially after Nylander, who was, you know, we can go back with the rose-colored glasses on it, but there was numbers coming out, but it wasn't what this negotiation was.
No. And he wasn't publicly walking around going, I'm going to talk to other teams. I'm going to tour and do the RFA thing. If he had done that, man, he'd have been just roasted. Like,
that's what I mean, right?
And love Mitch, and they're giving him the benefit of the doubt. But I think it ran out a bit, and he had to pull this back in and go, okay, we're done doing the public thing because I still need these, you know, insurance commercials and shit next year.
Right? Yeah, like, exactly, right?
He's not getting
people buying your jerseys.
He's not getting into an Apple commercial with Boone Jenner in Columbus next year. He needs to stay here with Austin Matthews to get that done, right?
So. Oh, 100%, right? It's, I mean, we can talk about his fans. It's disappointing. I agree with you, though. I think that's why he hasn't signed any sort of offer sheet, because he doesn't really want to leave the Leafs.
Right.
And you got to look at the teams who can sign you, right?
Yep.
It's not like you can walk up and go, okay, 30 other teams want to sign me. It needs to be the team with the right amount of draft picks to give up
yep.
and the right amount of cap space.
Yep. And with a chance
you're
to win.
Limited.
Why are
you going?
Yeah.
Are you going to go down and play with Phil Kessel down in Phoenix?
Right.
Okay. We'll take those draft picks, I guess, if they're going to pay you $12 million a year.
If that happened, I might actually have to cheer for Phoenix just a little. Like.
Hey, I've already got
Phil and Mitch would be fun, man. That's
I've got my... my 96 Phoenix with the crazy wolf on the front.
Oh, I remember that.
Kessel on the back.
Yeah,
I'm nice. Putting the order in.
That's sweet. I loved that.
I got a 2-for-1 deal. Kessel and Aronik.
Where's the Javi Boulin, man? You got to get that in there.
They ran out of letters.
Yeah, no doubt. To me, the one that I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about, just because nothing's really happened with Mitch, which is sort of the story, but about 15 minutes after I powered down the studio and posted our free agency episode, the Leafs traded Nazem Kadri and Callie Rosen to Colorado for Tyson Barrie and what? Oh, I can't believe
Kerfoot.
We're not going to, I guess, get too much into the details of it because the deal is now a couple of weeks old. But I am interested to have your take on it. The Leafs trade their number three center, who I thought struggled a little bit to find his role as a number three guy behind Tavares and Matthews.
Yeah.
But was super valuable, was loved in this city, had some trouble in back-to-back playoff series with the Bruins in terms of not playing in those games.
Well, sorry, going to cut you off.
Did
you catch the comment from Sakic?
No.
Okay, and again, you might have been down in down in the south there when it happened, but they asked Joe Sakic, like, you know, what are we doing? Like, how do you improve Kadri's game?
Right.
Or how do you reel him in a bit? And he goes, well, I just won't have him play Boston in the playoffs.
Okay, well, I kind of like that. You don't have to worry about it till a cup final, and at that point, I'll take my chances.
That's right.
So the Leafs deal from a position of strength in terms of their centers, and they get a reasonable third-line center in Kerfoot who could play there. They also picked up Nick Shore in free agency. They pick up Jason Spezza, who I don't want to see playing that high in the lineup, but you know, you've improved
fourth-line center.
That's right. But you have taken from a position of strength and, you know, really solidified a position of weakness, which everyone has known forever that the right side of the defense was the problem for Toronto. And not only did you get a really good, you know, top right-handed defenseman, you got one who plays the style you need. That up and out, breakout pass, can carry it out, can pass it out, can skate it out. You know, who should fit perfectly into their system. So you give up something that you love, but you got something you needed. What was your reaction to the deal, man?
Yeah, it was, you know I'm a Kadri fan.
Of course.
But that being said, this was a great hockey deal.
Yeah.
Right? This was 100% win for the Leafs as far as, and I don't even think this was a loss for Colorado necessarily. I just think for the Leafs, this was a winning trade, right? This was a trade you had to make. We were too weak on defense. We needed that right-sided D. You're getting a star defenseman here.
Yep.
Right? If Tyson Barrie's playing in one of the bigger markets, he's a star.
Well, that guy playing with our power play and some of our guys won't shock me at all if he's at 65, 70 points this year. Like, maybe not, but he's that type of guy. He could get there, right?
He could do it, right?
And
playing on, I mean, the Maple Leafs power play should really be a fucking video game version of a power play, realistically.
Yeah.
If Mike Babcock could ever wake the fuck up.
Well, and they've brought in another coach from Florida, I forget his name now, to run the power play. And you've added, you know, Tyson Barrie and Morgan Riley. Like, you have enough pieces that it should be, as you said, fucking video game city.
It should be, right? It should be as effective, if not more effective, than the Bruins power play.
Right.
Right. I mean, we've got the pieces to do it. Again, man, I think this is a great trade. We got that defenseman we needed. You knew after the first day of free agency that there had to be a trade being made because the Leafs were not looking very strong from the defense.
No, they brought in Cody Ceci. That's not the right side upgrade you were looking for.
Well, listen, I mean, I think you and Rob talked about it a bit, right? On the last podcast, but I don't hate Cody Ceci. I think Cody Ceci was miscast a little bit. I think
when you look at some of the partners he played with in Ottawa, the guys he was expected to carry, I don't expect Cody Ceci to be great, but he was getting buried in Ottawa.
Yeah, I think he was, and you've seen it happen in Toronto a million times, right? Especially, you know, I'm not sure he was an Ottawa kid, but he played for the 67s.
Yeah, he was an Ottawa kid,
right? So you have all that kind of baggage and the expectation of what you're going to do, kind of like felt a little bit like how Wade Redden was treated towards the end of his career, right?
No, it's true.
And you're like, you're making the guy do too much for what he can do, right? On a Leaf team where he's only got to be the fourth to fifth best defenseman.
Right.
Can he settle into a decent role? Can he just, you know, go earn his paycheck, do his thing? Maybe, you know, and maybe we minimize a lot of the mistakes he makes. I know he's not the best,
like, how do you want to set it up, right? Like, for the first month, he's going to have to be your second pair right D.
He has to be.
But after Dermott gets back from injury, if you wanted to go Riley, Barrie, Muzzin, Dermott, and now CeCe's your third pair right defense, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that, right? Yeah. He can play that role. Like,
I'm not even too upset with him being, you know, number four.
All like, right. I'm not You're braver than I am. Upset.
You know, there's a dearth of good NHL defensemen. There's just not a lot of great NHL defensemen out there.
Right.
And as long as you have three solid guys, you're just really putting puzzles together, right? For the last
week. You know what, man? You know what's really interesting? As we sit here right now, Jake Gardner has not signed anywhere.
Yeah. There has to be something up with his back that people are
I agree with that. And I'm terrified of that. But we, I think you saw on Twitter, if they could get that done at like 2 years, I'd do that. I'd do Jake Gardner for 2 years at a reasonable number. The thing that terrified me about re-signing him was if you're going to get him to take a hometown discount, you have to give him a lot of years to make it worthwhile. Well, no one out there has given him a lot of years. So maybe you don't, you know, maybe if he's comfortable here and he's liking it here, maybe you can get it done for 2 years. And all of a sudden, if your defense is, you know, Riley, Barry, Muzzin, Dermott, Gardner, CeCe, that's actually a really good defense, right?
Yeah.
I think part of it right now is he doesn't want to do anything until he sees the Marner number, right? When Marner gets done, and who knows how long that's going to take. I doubt Jake will wait all summer on this. But if they get Marner done and there's a little bit of room, maybe they're able to bring him back. And maybe that's what he's waiting on. And that wouldn't shock me because there's a reason he hasn't gone somewhere yet. He's been getting calls. I agree, because he didn't get the surgery done. No one quite knows what's going to happen with his back. And, you know, that would scare the hell out of me. But, you know, I wonder if that's part of this. He wants to just wait and just see, is there room here, right?
Yeah, and it's always a little tougher with the NHL when it comes to injuries because they're so fucking guarded with it, right?
Yeah.
Constantly lower body injuries, upper body injuries, fucking... It's the most frustrating sport to know how your team is actually healthy.
Absolutely, man.
Even the NFL is way, you know, they've got rules and regulations that you have to claim, right?
Yeah.
All your players for any sort of injury. So
for gambling purposes,
maybe. I mean, hey, definitely. That's why I like it.
So let's bring this back around. I do want to talk about Nas briefly. And you know, like you said, about the Raps, we got some time to talk about how Barry's going to fit in with the Leafs, whether he can be signed long-term, all that stuff. Naz was an interesting guy, man. How are you going to remember him? I know you were a fan. I was a fan of that guy. There's a bunch of things there. One of the things not being talked about a lot isn't just, you know, losing him as a player and what he brings, but that type of player, that sandpaper. We don't have a lot of that, right? And I don't think you have to build your whole team like that, but you do have to have some guys, and he was one of them. And even on a, you know, we've talked about why the Raptors were so popular on this playoff run and sort of representing a city. Naz represented a group in Toronto that is horribly, horribly underrepresented in the hockey community, right? Just people of any other color but white, from any other background but good prairie Christian boy.
Exactly.
I think the Leafs have... I'm not saying I hate the trade, but I do think they're losing a little something, a little part of their identity, both on and off the ice.
100%. I think he did speak to, especially in southwestern Ontario. He was definitely, you know, indirectly because of who he is and his name and his background. He got people into the sport and interested in the sport.
First ever Muslim player to make the NHL.
Right. And that's, I mean, I think his legacy will be bigger once he retires. He'll be one of those guys who, like a Darcy Tucker, who's just always around the Leafs.
I think so too, man. Who also went to Colorado after Toronto. Interesting.
That's very true. Funny enough, right?
Yeah.
I do think there's going to be a little bit of that. I think the narrative will change once he's gone.
Yeah.
Once you can look back on it. I mean, we talk about, you know, a guy like Cody Ceci, and you're like, you're asking him to do too much. Here's a guy who had to do it because of who his background is and what his name is and the color of his skin, right?
Yep.
And had to represent more people than maybe you necessarily want to when you're just a hockey player.
Right.
Right. And I do, you know, anybody on Twitter after that trade, maybe a day or so after, you really start to see the Twitter sphere going, and, you know, talking about and remembering him about the way he should be remembered for getting people into the sport. In a culture that's very white, Catholic, Christian dominated, right? So, I mean, again, we're going to look back on him. I wouldn't not expect him to be back in the Maple Leaf family in some sort of capacity once his career comes to an end. I mean, he was our, if, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was our longest tenured player or something, right?
Yeah. It's now Riley.
It's now Riley, right? Yeah. And interesting enough, right? I mean, the guy who gets lambasted for his play, as soon as he leaves, we then start talking about, oh, what are we going to do? We don't have a player like him.
Isn't that the way?
You know, the Toronto media all the fucking time.
Beat it, Phil. Oh, shit, we can't score.
Yeah, no, we can't score. Well, Kadri keeps taking silly penalties.
Yeah.
Oh, well, now we don't have Sam.
Now they're walking all over us. Yeah.
Right? I mean, just all over. And he's a guy, you know, he was a high draft pick.
Yep.
He always played with that intensity, even in London. He was the type of guy, he's got to play with a chip on his shoulder, right? That's when he's effective. You know those guys and how they have to play, and every team's got them. For whatever reason, the media just maybe took it a little tougher on Nazim for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Pick your choice for whatever reason that is.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, I think what you raise there or try not to raise there is interesting, right? How much was fair and how much wasn't. We did see, look, Naz did some stupid shit sometimes, right? And we've talked about that in terms of reasons he was suspended and things like that. But you watch that kid come all the way up from junior. He was an emergency call-up to play for the Leafs and faced off against Joe Thornton, interesting enough, given what they would get into later on in their careers.
Yeah, true.
But his first ever NHL game, he's playing against like the Monster Sharks as a junior call-up on an emergency basis. Eventually, he's a Marley, makes his way up through all of that. And he was, you know, he was a kid. And that's, you saw that guy turn into, you know, a guy who had back-to-back 30-goal seasons, contributed a ton to the team, and loved being a Leaf. And I don't know how often, if at all, you listen to the 31 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Friedman, but he said they had Kadri on last week, and they said that just before the Colorado trade, there was a trade to Calgary in which he would have gone for TJ Brody and something else. And he blocked it. And they asked why. He said, it had nothing to do with Calgary. He said, I wanted to be a Leaf. And I only had 10 teams in my no trade list. So that was one of them. And I was able to, you know, shrug that off and whatever. He said, it had nothing to do with not wanting to go to Calgary or anything. He says, if you're going to send me out to Toronto, I'm going to make it hard for you. Because he wanted to be here. Right. So, you know, in an era where Ontario kids supposedly didn't want to be Leafs, this guy badly wanted to be one. And, you know, it's tough. But, you know, as we sort of come full circle on this, last year the Raptors trade a guy who wanted to be a Raptor, who loved it here, fans loved him, and it was an unpopular move at the time to get a guy that maybe it was for just 1 year, we didn't know anything about him, would he even come, all these sorts of things. And a year later, looks like it was a pretty good fucking trade. I'm not saying Tyson Barrie is Kawhi Leonard, because he very is not, but but sometimes you have to make hard decisions with popular players. And I want to ask you, as we sort of wrap this up, you know, Naz has already said he's got it bookmarked on his calendar, Colorado's first game back in Toronto. What does that look like for Naz? Is he a video package guy? Is he a standing O guy, or is he?
He's a standing O guy. Yeah. I mean, that's not even a question.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a question. Anybody who put in 10 years with the Leafs is going to get a standing O anyways, just out of respect. But I do think the fans do appreciate him. And,
yeah.
You know, we've talked about it. I hate all the stuff when they start lambasting the guy for taking penalties, when on the other side they talk about the code and all this other bullshit that you go on about. I'm like, well, then this guy goes on about the code and protects his team, and you kill him for it for taking a suspension, right? Like,
right.
And you got guys like old Radface there out in Marchand in Boston, who gets away with just about fucking everything, but whatever.
Yeah.
No big deal. no, he'll get the standing O. That's not even a question. I think he'll get the cheers when he comes out on the ice for the skate around. I think when he goes out for the face off, he'll get an ovation as well. I think he's going to be well received. And again, I think to go back to it, you know, 10 years from now, I think he'll be back in that Maple Leaf family, you know, where he belongs, really. And yeah, it's, like you said, it is a business. and guys got to get moved. And, you know, we're the one team with too many good centermen.
Yeah.
Right? And he's a guy who's really should be a second line centerman.
Right.
He's just a very good defensive center.
And you look at that Colorado team now where Naz is going to play behind McKinnon in that group. And they, even though they gave up Barry, they just drafted a couple more young defensemen. They already had a couple coming. And then Connor Timmins is going to get healthy. Like, that Colorado team is going to be scary good really soon.
They were scary good last year.
No, it's right? True.
They
man.
Were kind of an underrated team.
Yeah.
And again, you know, they're kind of Midwest there. We don't get to see them on TV a lot, but what a good hockey team those guys are.
For sure.
Nathan MacKinnon is another guy, man. If he was playing on any other big market team, he would just
be probably on the best contract in the league. The guy's making like $6 million bucks just before contracts exploded. He signs that, and now you're like, fuck. Like,
yeah.
You look around the league at all the guys that are making more than him. It's unreal, man.
And the only advertising he can get is as the backup for Sidney Crosby on Tim Hortons, the poor guy.
That's true.
He's always the second best kid from Nova Scotia.
Holy fuck. Yeah. No, it's true, man. As we start to wind this thing down, you got anything else you want to cover on this one? Or?
Well, I thought we were going to talk about The Undertaker coming back, but we can save that for the next podcast, I guess.
He's always coming back, man. You can't kill the dead man. What's up? What's coming up or what's up now on the injury blog of Matt Does Physio on Instagram?
We're gonna put it on his head for a little bit for the next 2 weeks. I'm actually headed out to Italy.
I think you're making a mistake, man. You should go to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Clearly the vacation hotspot. Fuck Italy. What's happening in Italy, man?
Fuck the beaches.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck the pretty women.
What's going? Always good advice. Always. What's going on in Italy?
I'm headed out with I'm going to be working with a soccer team out in Italy.
Nice.
A Canadian soccer team. We're on tour for 2 weeks, so we're going to be doing a little bit of soccer content, especially as the NBA is on. Summer League ends tomorrow or something like that. So not much injury talk for basketball. So we're going to be doing a little bit of soccer stuff with some athletes while we're actually on it's sand soccer. So while we're on the sand.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Doing something a little different.
For people who haven't seen this, it's Canadian beach soccer. I'm sure Matty will have it linked on his Instagram when he gets over there at Matt Does Physio. It's wild to watch. I'd never heard of this until a year or two ago when you were telling me about it, when you were getting into it, man. It's crazy to see.
Yeah, it's for anybody who hasn't checked it out, it's basically like and one basketball. It's like trick shot soccer on a much smaller field out on the beach. It's huge in Europe.
Yeah.
It's actually getting quite massive in Europe. So, we're just wrapping up our practice this week and we're just kind of getting ready to roll out and hopefully bring home some hardware this year.
That'd be awesome. So that will be all over Matty's Instagram at Matt Does Physio on Instagram. He is at Matthew Lang on Twitter. There's an I in Lang. You don't want to forget that. It's at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. Like I said, we got new stuff going up on Patreon also this week. You can support us there. I guess, man, that's pretty much it for another Sunday night episode. We're back in the saddle after a wild vacation in Indiana. Always appreciate you doing this.
Listen, I just hope Indiana's paying you money for this.
Ugh, fuck. Not enough. We're going to wind this one down. For Matty Lang, my name's Matt Robinson. We'll catch you on the next episode of Tall Can Sports.
We're not going to be fucking sunk this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.